This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along on the Sportsnap Radio Network. It is Wake Up Call with Tony D. Ron Culver. It is a throwback Thursday today. You'll be hearing some TV themes from 1972, celebrating the debut on CBS of the television show MASH. That's our throwback Thursday. Andy Baskin's going to join us from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. We're going to talk about the Browns and their game tonight against Cincinnati. And the Big Ten has also returned to football after voting yesterday that, all right, maybe we were a little early in the no football thing. They were trying to establish something. They were trying to establish something in August that just didn't catch. And listen, I respect the Big Ten for trying to stand on a principle that they believed in August. But I thought it was, at the time, a little too soon. We did not really know in a month how this virus was going to play out, what testing procedures we could have. Remember at the time, as about a couple of days later, the NBA had announced this, they were in development with this other for this test, this quick return test. There were so many different changes to this virus and the way we were handling this virus from August 11th on that I thought that the Big Ten was being a little too proactive in deciding that they were going to shut down college football, thinking that they were going to have everybody follow suit. It is okay to say we're going to go through the process. We're going to see what it's going to be like. We're going to cancel games when we get to it. You didn't have to shut it down in August. But I think it was something larger. And that something larger was something that the Big Ten has always prided itself on, that they were different, that they're bigger than some of the other conferences. And I think it just backfired. And the amount of backlash that came at them probably exceeded by, you know, a factor of 10 the amount of support that they were getting from people saying that they were doing the right thing. It's not an easy decision. I know people like to make it sound like it's an easy decision, but you're impacting so many different people with a decision like that. Is it a responsible thing to do to not play football? If you have the evidence and you believe in it, yes. But if things change, if you feel like there is a way to do it, think about the people that you've affected negatively with that decision and what you can do to reverse it. I think that's what this conference did. We'll see again how it plays out, but I think we need to see how it plays out rather than woulda, coulda, shoulda from August on the way to the end of the season. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on Throwback Thursday Wake Up Call.
At the Sportsnap Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsmapRadio for 20% off. Wake Up Call continues now on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb throwback Thursday edition. Again, celebrating 1972. But we celebrate the good, the bad, and the dumb in this segment. So let's get the good of the day.
Well, we almost made it a full show, Tony, without announcing that the that Hall of Fame nominees have been announced.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the NFL, though.
Oh, you're not?
No, I'm talking about the Toy Hall of Fame.
Oh, the Toy Hall of Fame. I didn't know there was a Toy Hall
there
of Fame.
There is a Toy Hall of Fame. So these 12 are vying to be put in the hall alongside of Lego and crayons and coloring books and teddy bears and all your favorite toys from your childhood.
Star Wars figurines.
I think they're in it. Barbie, right. I think, is in it as well.
All right. Barbie should be in it, yeah.
So your nominees are Baby Nancy, which was a doll introduced in 1968. That was the first African-American doll to be introduced.
Right.
That wasn't a parody of what people thought African-Americans looked like back then.
You know, got it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Is a nominee for the Toy Hall of Fame.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming somebody obviously invented that, but I didn't know there was a bingo. Like, I thought bingo was just a thing we did. I didn't know it was like a
childhood game?
Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know what you're saying, but that, because that could hurt its campaign.
Right, like tic-tac-toe, right?
Yeah.
Like we play tic-tac-toe, but I didn't know there was like a tic-tac-toe company.
Yep.
Like, that sounds like there's a bingo company.
What about...
It's like, we invented it, we run the whole thing.
What about this one? Breyer horses.
I don't know anything about this.
Those are the... You know those horses that... They were popular, I think, when we were younger. Like those little plastic horses.
Right.
But they look real. Like they were, I mean, just miniature. I don't know. I mean, I never bought them, but I know, I think they were a hit with the girls back then.
All right.
Now I'm going to get to some that you actually do know.
Yes.
Jenga.
Yeah, I love Jenga.
That could be worthy, right?
Yeah.
Light Bright
should be in now.
Yeah.
Like, that's been around forever. What do you mean it's up for the Hall of Fame?
It's up for the Hall of Fame. They only allow five.
Oh,
a max
okay,
of five.
Well,
so, right, I mean,
well,
there's been a
very
lot
of strict
toys.
Business.
This one kind of hits close to home for me. I'm betting it does for you because we're similar in age. Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe is awesome. I saw a little documentary on that on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us, how that whole thing came about. That blew up, man. Yeah. That blew up. When they came up with that,
He-Man
exploded.
And Skeletor
and
Man-at-Arms.
Man-at-Arms and, what was the Beast one? Oh, yeah, the guy with the Beast.
Yeah, I know
who
you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
So that could be in there. My Little Pony. I mean, if you put Masters of the Universe in, you got to put My Little Pony, right?
I mean, speaking of My Little Pony, I didn't realize it was a whole anime about my little girl had My Little Pony when she was a kid. Like, oh, look, it's ponies. You brush their hair. I didn't know there was a whole cartoon series about this that people were into.
That might have came after.
Okay. So I did. Okay, because sometimes I don't keep up with this stuff, so
I'm not 100% sure, though.
Is the toy comes off the show or the comic, or did the comic come from the toy? I don't know.
Yeah,
I just go, why does that exist?
I don't need you to at me because I don't know the history of My Little Pony.
Yeah, my daughter had like 10 of them when she was a little kid, and like I spent a lot of sick days when she was out of school brushing the hairs. Mm-hmm. Oh, these little My Little Ponies.
That's why you're a dad.
That's why you're a dad. You got to do this. You got to do the tea parties. You got to do the princess dances. And you got to do My Little Ponies.
Now, I've never played this game in my life.
Okay.
Risk.
Risk is a hard game. I played it. It's difficult. There was a whole Seinfeld episode on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I know it's a huge popular culture game. And I mean, it's been around. It actually has been around since 1959.
Yeah. It's,
but
it's like moving armies and stuff.
Because I don't know. I think my attention span was too small.
I used to be a big
that.
Board game guy when I was a kid. I'm not so much anymore, but I used to be a huge board game guy when I was a kid.
Yeah, I got a couple more here. How about Sidewalk Chalk?
Well, that should be just chalk.
I mean, isn't that crayons? I mean,
it's right.
Don't you just put them all in at one time?
Yeah,
like
right.
Crayons, markers.
Yeah, exactly.
I think crayons was
all
like
the writing
Crayola.
Stuff where you can draw
exactly.
something, you get in. There's a whole segment for you.
Yep. What about Sorry?
I don't think that belongs in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Sorry's a cool game, but it's not that awesome.
Tamagotchi.
Oh, is that the pet one where you had to keep it alive?
I think that deserves
That was a big craze back in the day.
Well, not only that, but it was like the beginning of technology.
Yeah, I would put that in.
You had your little pocket pet that you had to keep feeding.
I would put
that
in.
Die. And finally, Yahtzee.
I guess I could put Yahtzee's been around. Yeah, that's got the problem is Yahtzee awesome or is it just nostalgic? There's a big difference.
I think it's nostalgic.
That's why you need a Hall of Fame is supposed to separate emotion from fact.
And isn't Yahtzee also a precursor to craps?
Yeah, it might be.
Or poker.
I don't know.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's essentially what you're doing, right?
Right.
Like five-card draw.
Well, we do this all the time with athletes when it comes to Hall of Fame, right? We remember a career, but if we remember, you know, time has a way of polishing off the blemishes, right? So what happens is you get an athlete that we all remember growing up as a kid, right? And we go, oh my God, he's a Hall of Famer. He was great when I was a kid. Yeah, he was great in the few times you remember him, but we need a panel that really analyzes his career and goes, hold on. I know you're all nostalgic. You think this guy was awesome. He was a big deal in like 1982, but he's not a Hall of Famer. That's what we need with this. So you hear these games that you played when you were a kid, like, yeah, but in reality, think, is this, is it really an awesome revelation? Did it did it change the industry? Is it supposed to be remembered forever? I can't believe I just did a whole soliloquy on the Toy Hall of Fame. Right.
But by all your right. reaction, Light Bright should have already been.
It should have already been in.
That should be in.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. Basically a black screen with a light bulb that you just poked holes with lighted little pegs.
Yep.
That your mother would yell at you when you left out and she said to step on them.
Exactly. Yeah, but still not as bad as Legos.
All right, let's get to the bad.
The bad of the day is that McDonald's could be running into a quarter pounder shortage.
I saw this. I asked my daughter who this person was. I had no idea who Travis Scott was.
If you don't know, Travis Scott is a musician. I think yep. I don't know if he's based out of Houston, but he could be. I'm not sure.
He's
but
a rapper.
Basically, yeah, he's a rapper. There is a meal. It's the Travis Scott meal. You can go to McDonald's. You better hurry because apparently they're going to run out. But you can go
$6.
You can go to McDonald's and get the Travis Scott meal, which is a quarter pounder burger with cheese, bacon, and shredded lettuce, Sprite, fries dipped in barbecue sauce for just $6.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But McDonald's is running because it's been so popular. They're running out of the ingredients to make the quarter pounder,
like the beef.
I don't think it's the beef part. Because no. They had to have the beef, right?
I mean, they got to. Come on.
I mean if
they're a burger place.
If you're running
they're the most powerful burger place on the planet.
Which reminds me, yesterday we were all kind of having fun. I was taking my boys and I were heading to our various practices, and we drive by this Japanese place. It's called Kokai. And my son's name, is Kai. And he sat there and goes, I have a Japanese restaurant named after me. And then my son goes, well, I have a bank named after me, my oldest. Cadence, because his name's Caden. And I just turned to him and was like, I got you both beat. I got a whole clown with golden arches named
nice.
After me.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, quarter pounder, I could be running out of quarter pounder beef.
Yeah, God, that's crazy. This is really popular. I saw this in the New York
it
Post.
It is. I mean, it doesn't look that bad. I mean, I would order it.
Let me just tell you, my daughter knew exactly what this was. She knew all the ingredients. Apparently, all her friends know, and they go to McDonald's and get this.
Yep.
They're all in on the Travis Scott meal.
You can say you want the Travis Scott meal or the Cactus Jack. I don't even know. I don't know what that refers to.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah,
I'd be like, can I get that meal named after that young man that you guys have? What is that? The Scott Travis thing? What is that? I would have to be that guy because I don't want to. I'm not hip to understand what this is all about.
Wasn't there some saying you can't trust a man with two first names?
That's very true. So, good point.
I don't know, but that meal does look good.
It does look good.
It's something, but yeah. So I don't know if what the time frame is. But hopefully not sooner than later.
Yeah, right.
Because now I'm talking about it. I'm like, I might stop by today.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that Kanye West has been suspended from Twitter.
Well, is that dumb or is that appropriate? I mean, what did he do?
Exactly. Well, I think what he did was dumb. There's two incidences. Twitter is saying he broke protocol by sharing a journalist's phone number in a tweet.
Okay. So you're not allowed to do that.
I guess you're not allowed to do that. I think it's the other incidents where he took a film of himself urinating on his Grammy.
Oh, so you think it's that?
I'm thinking that. Because, I mean, it's kind of gross,
Yeah, something.
But the other part of the dumb is that, our boy Rick Fox was the one who had to break the news in a tweet.
Oh, gotcha.
He said, my friend Kanye West wants you to all know that he was kicked off of Twitter for 12 hours.
Is it, though, is it becoming, is it a badge of honor to get kicked off Twitter? Are people saying it's cool to be kicked off Twitter?
I don't know. I just find it weird that,
like, I know people are like, I went to Facebook jail because they didn't like what I had to say.
Yeah, I've seen that. Or Instagram.
Where I'm like, okay.
My Instagram post got suspended because this was too provocative.
Yeah, really like, I'm breaking down the system. I'm
right.
Taking down the man, and Facebook can't handle me.
Well,
are people saying the same things about Twitter? Like, yeah, I'm too hot. I'm too hot. I'm bringing the pain.
Is that the new 2020 of rebellion?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but is that Kanye's thinking, right? Like, look, I gotta be me, and me is challenging the system that Twitter can't handle anymore. Or is he like, oh shoot, I made a mistake. Now I'm off Twitter.
Well, here's a question I have for you. Will Kanye West ever get back to making good music again? I mean, if he ever did. I'm not a big, I've never been a big fan, but I feel like we talk more about his antics now than we do about anything he, ever since he ran on stage and interrupted Taylor Swift, I feel like it's been a downward spiral for him.
I'm not the right person to ask because I don't, that's not my music, so I don't know. Like seriously, if somebody said to me, dude, he's had like three platinum albums in the last 5 years, I have no idea if that statement is true or not. He might. He might not. I don't know. So I'm the wrong person.
But I really feel like 2020, he fell off the deep end.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Maybe 2020 has gotten to him too much.
Running for president, not running for president, all that good stuff.
Now he's just doing bad things to awards that he won.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots, giving you sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. And they consistently get 5-star reviews. I take it because I need the energy at night, and I get the energy with Keto Energy Shots. Patented all-natural ingredient, DBHB, and it revs up your metabolism and also turns your body into a fat-burning machine in only minutes. Feel energized while shedding unwanted pounds. Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. It is the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right. Coming up, we'll talk Cleveland Browns. Coming up later on this hour, as we continue on a Throwback Thursday Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, our Superstart battery is exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today. The professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hawaii 5-0, 1972. Celebrating MASH's debut on CBS. Lasted 11 years. Throwback Thursday. I love when we do these Throwback Thursdays. We always look at the sports, what's on the sports calendar on this day. But every now and then we go, oh, we got to go down entertainment. Like, this is more fun.
Pop culture.
Yeah, pop culture. This is a little bit, we don't get to do that very often, but when we do, I love it. It's fun. It's a blast. Hawaii 5-0. All right, so the Lakers and the Nuggets begin Friday night. The Nuggets have not been to the Western Conference Finals since 2009. Seems like a long time. It is a long time. You know, the Lakers haven't been to the Western Conference Finals since 2010. I didn't believe that when I first read that. I said, that can't be right. But, yep, sure enough, it is. They haven't been there in 10 years. Yeah, you go, yeah, okay, I got it. Yeah, it was a little, you know, they hadn't been good in the latter part of the Kobe years. But, nope, they haven't been there either. So my question is this. LeBron James is now leading a Lakers team one series away from back to the finals. Now, if he gets back to the finals, I don't care who they play, they're going to be favored in the finals. You could make the argument that if Milwaukee showed up in this thing and were healthy and blasted through the Eastern Conference, that maybe they would have been favored against the Lakers. But I don't care if it's the Heat or the Celtics. If the Lakers get through the Nuggets, they're going to be favored in the finals. LeBron James has been criticized and vilified since he arrived in this bubble. Being outwardly spoken on all the issues of the day, taking the stand, kind of, you know, the people who have taken their arrows at what's going on with the NBA have got them pointed at LeBron. And I've done it too, because I think LeBron not speaking out on China back in October and then wanting to speak out on this is kind of hypocritical. But as I've said many times, he has a right in this country to speak on anything he wants as a citizen of America. Doesn't matter what he does for a living, and it doesn't matter how much he makes. As long as he is a citizen's country, he can talk about anything he wants to change the country. You don't have to be a citizen to be in this country. You can voice how you want life to be lived in America. We all have different opinions. We all have different thoughts. And LeBron is no different than anybody else. I do think that when he tried to squash freedom of speech and talking about what Daryl Morey had brought up about Hong Kong and China, and talking about that and being very, very cautious, watching his dollar signs about what was going on in China, I do think that it's okay to criticize that when he's so free about what's going on in this country. I think the two go hand in hand. But does some of that go away if we get back to a basketball conversation about what he's been able to do again? Remember, this guy went to 8 straight finals, right? And then he took a year off. And if he wins this series against the Nuggets, which they're favored to do, he'll be right back in it again with his third team. If you want to make it four teams, given that the 2007 Cavaliers were certainly a lot different than the Cavaliers teams of the mid, 2015, 2016, then I'll buy that. I'm okay with that. If you tell me that those two teams are different enough, same organization but different enough, because the first year he dragged that team to the finals kicking and screaming. I mean, he had nobody around him. And he got swept by the San Antonio Spurs. When he went back to Cleveland, he had a better roster and a better supporting cast to win the Eastern Conference again. But you could not write the Eastern Conference without LeBron James, whether he was in Cleveland, whether he was in Miami or back at Cleveland again. Then he goes to Los Angeles, chills out for a year while they work it out. And even in this quarantine, before they went into, he had the best record. They were the number one seed. They were the number one seed when they arrived in the bubble, and now they are a series away. Or have we reached the point where sports now has gotten so political, there's no turning back, and LeBron is still going to get the arrows for the go woke, go broke aspect of the NBA? That you cannot have a conversation now about the 2020 finals without pointing out, boy, the ratings were really terrible. Boy, they really went in this direction and America didn't want to follow them. And LeBron was leading the way. Or do we go back to saying, man, love him, hate him, MJ comparison, no MJ comparison, whatever it is you want to do with LeBron from a basketball standpoint, there was a basketball conversation that we were having about this guy before we were having a political conversation about this guy. Do we go back to that in some ways, realizing what he's done? I mean, I know the quarantine has people in this bubble atmosphere, has people sort of kind of looking at the validity of all this in a different light. I agree with that. I think it's okay. I still think that the champion of this tournament, of this situation, needs to be recognized as the champion of the 2019-2020 season, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of its time off, eight games in the bubble, playoffs in the bubble. The format didn't change. We didn't do something wacky and crazy. We didn't do an NCAA tournament with everybody. We didn't do the World Cup type of group of death draw. We had a regular playoff. We had a best of seven series all the way through. The teams were seeded like they would have been. Do we go back to saying, this guy is unbelievable? This guy takes teams to finals. This guy takes teams to championship appearances. And sometimes he closes the deal and sometimes he doesn't. But whether he should have won more or not in Miami, he did win too. Whether he should have won more or not against Golden State every time they played him, he did give Cleveland one. If he gives the Lakers one, it puts him in the list of Laker greats that have brought championships to the city. Not as many as others, but right now it's the stepping stone. But I'm almost afraid of that legacy or the fun conversations that we were having with LeBron are going to be gone, right? When everybody wants to go Michael or LeBron, right? I feel like it's been muddled because the last few weeks or since we started getting games in the bubble, LeBron has been attached to something about the way the NBA now is being perceived by a number of people in our country. I've enjoyed the games, right? I've enjoyed watching the games, but I know why people aren't watching. I get that. I totally understand that. But I'm going to miss having a conversation about the legacy of LeBron James because it's complex. It's not as simple as Magic, right? It's not as simple as other players in this league, like Michaels. Michaels is complex, but not as complex as LeBron. From going from being this, this kid out of Akron who's leading the local team to the finals, to being a villain for going to Miami, to redeeming himself by bringing in championship Cleveland, and then going to a storied franchise to add his name to the record books of that franchise, to put a banner of his own into a rafter that is filled with them. I don't know if we can have that conversation about him as a basketball guy anymore. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to miss it. We'll talk Cleveland Browns coming up next on Wake Up Call.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. The
a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is a Throwback Thursday, 1972. On this date, MASH debuted on CBS. We're doing 1970s TV shows. This is Happy Days, of course. Andy Baskin joins us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. It's Browns in Cincinnati tonight. How are you, Andy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Happy. I'm going to go get my lunchbox.
I know, right? Me too. Me too?
Yeah. With my Fonzie, I think I had a Fonzie thermostat too. Oh man, I got to take chicken noodle soup in school. That was awesome.
It was the best. It was the best. Before we get to the game against Baltimore, let's do a little preseason. The team was loaded. It looked loaded, but I know you could be a little gun shy when it comes to the Browns. What was the preseason expectation of thoughts on this team?
I think a lot of people going into the Ravens game didn't think they were going to win. And I don't think Browns fans thought they were going to win the first game. But I don't think they expected the beatdown that they got in that first game by the hands of the Ravens. So, when you look at the Browns offense and what they were able to build and what Andrew Berry did on offense, it's a tailor-made offense for Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum if they ever need to do that down the road. But they upgraded in every position offensively, I thought, over the last 2 years. So the offense should have been fine, but to only have 6 points and abandon the run the way they did in game one was very, very concerning to Browns fans. And on defense, you look at the front four, you're like, okay, but everything behind that, with the exception of maybe Denzel Ward, has been real sketchy. And, this is a team, even though they didn't have Myles Garrett at the end of the season, they've given up 30 plus points in the last four games, if you go back to last year, if you want to count it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think people are saying, look, I don't think they'll win, but I do want to see something. What was the most disappointing aspect of what you thought this team was going to do and what they didn't do against the Ravens?
So the biggest disappointment to what we saw on Sunday was we didn't see any improvement from last year. All of the same problems that they had last year reared their ugly head in game number one. Kind of crazy play calling with a fake punt. A defense that absolutely collapses right before halftime and lets somebody else in. An offense that looks okay in the beginning of the game and can establish a run and not be able to do what they wanted. So it seemed very Freddie Kitchens-like. And then it makes you wonder, well, was it Freddie or was it Ben Baker? So I think that's what one of the big questions is around here this week.
Let's get to the coaching, because this is something that I know has been touched on a number of times by the pundits that like to look at the Browns and kind of poke holes at it, is their inability to find a long-term coach. What is behind that? What is their philosophy behind that? How quick do you have to show that you can win immediately when you get the job there?
Well, Hugh Jackson's record is abysmal, and we all know it's one of the worst in the history of the NFL, and they stuck with Hugh for forever. Even though, they knew, everyone around here kind of knew they were kind of tanking to get the number one pick and they were acquiring assets. And we kind of knew where they were and we understood it. And Hugh kind of, rode the wave on that. And when the Haslams went out and got Hugh Jackson, they were, it was like a parade. Everybody wanted Hugh at that time. He was their first choice. They were able to go out and get him, and they were going to give Hugh as much time as they possibly could. And then it didn't work. And then John Dorsey came in. And then we're trying to figure it out. So, I don't know. It's almost schizophrenic the way the Haslams have looked at it. But if you don't perform, you're not going to have your job for very long. And, I go back. I think Mike Pettine would have been a really good coach here. But they pulled out of that real quick. And Rob Chudzinski would have had the potential to be a good coach here. But they got rid of that quick, too. So they just need some consistency. So even if they have a poor year this year, as long as Kevin Stefanski can put a professional football team out on the field, he should be good, I would hope, at least for 2 years. Keep your fingers crossed.
In terms of Baker Mayfield, in terms of where he is as an NFL quarterback, how do fans look at him? How do fans look at this season for him?
All right, so I there's two different ways to look at Baker Mayfield if you're a Browns fan. One, you're like Browns fan who's all in and believes that everything he did his rookie year, which was great, is what we're going to see again this season, is what we're hoping for. They didn't get that in game one, so those Browns fans are like, okay. Then there's Browns fans that are like, Baker Mayfield showed his true colors last year, that he can't lead this team, that he's not the kind of guy that can take the Browns to the promised land, and maybe we wasted another number one overall pick on a guy. So, there's been a lot of rumblings about Case Keenum, you know, and I don't know that that's the answer. I think the Browns have to stick with Baker Mayfield no matter what here so that they can figure out what they do for next season. So I think I tend to lean towards we could see the Baker Mayfield that we saw the first season as long as they get into some consistency. One of the problems they're having is it just appears that he's trying to force the ball too hard to Odell Beckham Jr., and it messes the entire offense up. And they need to go back, get, you know, keep it simple, stupid, run the ball with Nick Chubb, especially in a game like tonight against the Bengals, whose defense is suspect. And you've got Kareem. If they run the ball, they're going to be fine, and Baker's going to look better no matter how you look at him.
Andy Baskin joins us from 92.3 The Fan, Baskin and Phelps in Cleveland, as we talk about tonight's game. And look, it's week two, I get it, but it is against a Cincinnati team that has got a rookie quarterback and a second-year coach. And I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but, I mean, if this doesn't go the Browns' way, I can see some real just massive frustration with how the season would start. Where do you put the importance of this game, even though it's early?
I hate to say it's must win, but I think that what we got from our listeners yesterday and everybody that we talked to, I mean, I talked to, we probably had four or five national guys on yesterday, and I hate to say it, in week two, it's a must win for the Browns. It really is, because this is a game that they should win. When you play the schedule game, you have this chalked up as a win. But I'm not, I mean, as much as the Bengals are banged up and, you know, they may not have all their guns, and you got a rookie quarterback who, by the way, you know, a lot of Browns fans know about Joe Burrow.
Sure.
Just because of his time at Ohio State. And so, you know, and obviously the way he played last year and, you know, with everything with the draft and everything. I mean, this could be Joe Burrow's coming out party if he starts finding A.J. Green left or right or whatever happens with the Bengals offense. Their defense is real suspect tonight without Geno Atkins. So, but, I mean, that said, this is a game the Browns need to win. I'm not going to say it's the end of the season, but, man, it's as close to must-win as you possibly can have in week two.
I want to ask you about Myles Garrett going back to last year and the situation with Mason Rudolph. How has he come back to this team? How has he warmed himself back up to the organization and the league?
Well, I mean, he came back. They signed that huge contract. So, you know, they're...
Yeah, that helps, of course, right?
Sorry, say that again?
Yeah, that helps when you get a contract.
Yeah. Well, let's just see what... I mean, I like Myles Garrett. I think what happened last year with the helmet was a fluke. The defense just behind him is so bad right now. Like, I have no faith in the Browns linebackers, and hopefully they can figure something out tonight and maybe look a little bit better. But there's a lot of pressure on Miles to you know, try to be the sack leader that he wanted to be last year before he got suspended. So, you know, Browns fans embrace Miles. And, you know, when you have an incident against the Steelers, you know, it's like, okay, it's the Steelers, so, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, there was talk that Miles had, you know, talked about quitting the game. You know, there was that story a couple weeks ago. So, but I think Miles had a mediocre game in game number one. Some people will say it was worse than mediocre. I'll give him mediocre. So tonight's a night. It'd be nice to see him come up with a couple sacks.
I don't mean to give you this complicated question, like what's the meaning of life kind of thing, but this is a broad question that I do want to get to because it is from an outside looking in. I have a hard time understanding this without boots on the ground in Cleveland. Since this organization came back in 99, it's been one playoff appearance and that's it. We're talking over 20 years. It's been ineptitude and bad seasons and new coaches and new players. Is there a person to blame here? For the NFL gives you every tool to get better. They give you every tool to make the playoffs and get and turn your seasons around and your organization around. Why hasn't it worked there? And again, is there somebody or somebodies to blame for this 20 years?
I mean, you could start off by saying the NFL in general. I mean, and this is kind of an old school approach to it, but the NFL would have just figured things out in the beginning and never moved the Browns to Baltimore.
Right, sure.
An expansion team. I mean, you could really pinpoint that as the key moment. And then they rushed the team back out on the field. Now, these excuses are long gone and they're not valid in my mind anymore, but they did rush the team out on the field. They didn't give them the advantages of other expansion teams at the time. And they had garbage out on the field. Tim Couch could have been a really good quarterback, I think, in this league, but he spent so much time looking at the stars that he never really had the chance to become the quarterback I think he could have been in the NFL. So, I mean, I can go back that far, but you know, and then you've got, you know, Al Lerner owned the team for a while and then Al passes away and, you know, his son Randy takes over. I know that Randy ultimately wanted to be the owner of the team, and you know that caused some issues. And that you never knew. And Randy was always looking for, You know, Randy would have been a great owner, and I still think Randy had the potential to be, you know, the owner that everybody dreams of. Guy who just puts money in the franchise and walks away and lets guys run the team. Unfortunately, the guys that were running the team didn't have any success. So, you know, Randy then ends up selling to Jimmy Haslam, and Haslam comes in here with a new attitude, and we were all gung-ho, and then Haslam has some trouble with Pilot Flying J, so he kind of backs off, and then you got, you know, head and quarterback, you know, changing left and right. So there's a lot of fingers to point on what's wrong with the Browns. The only thing that isn't wrong with the Browns are the fans who stand by no matter what. And, you know, that's the bottom line is they still go after this product 0-16 and, you know, a couple years ago 1-15 and they're still there. So, I mean, you have to give the Browns fans some credit.
You know, as much as we've seen all sorts of sports teams move and relocate, I think America at the time in the mid-90s felt more sympathy for the Cleveland Brown fans than any fan base that ever lost their team. Because I think that permeated through the nation how much people there loved that football team.
And still do. I mean, they still love that team. I think, you know, when you go back to the move, it's just, you know, the fans didn't do anything wrong.
Right,
they were still selling out the stadium. We just had an owner that did not have a balanced checkbook in Art Modell, and then, you know, sold his soul to move the team over to Baltimore so his kid could have it. And then what happened? He still couldn't hang on to the team.
Right, sure.
So, you know, that's the hardest part, I think, for Browns fans. And then to go watch the Ravens win a Super Bowl, you know, after that was just it was devastating to Browns fans. So, you know, but you know, there's no excuses now. I mean, I look at the Browns offense, and this offense should sing. There's no, I mean, you have Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., no matter how good you think he is. You've got two really good wide receivers, and being really good is might be an understatement if Odell can start playing the way that we think he can. But you've also got Chubb and Hunt. They upgraded the offensive line with Jack Coughlin this year. Wyatt Teller had a great week last week, and he was like kind of one of those, you know, one of those guys where you're like, I wonder if this guy's, he could be a hole, and then you've got Jedrick Wills. So, I mean, there's no excuses for the Browns on offense. None. There are none. Baker Mayfield has to perform.
Andy, great stuff. Really appreciate your time again. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Andy Baskin joining us here on Wake Up Call. Thanks again. Really appreciate the insight and the history of this organization.
No worries. Take care.
You got it. Andy Baskin again out in Cleveland on tonight's game. He, like you said, I agree with him completely. And again, this is not, you know, this is not going crazy and whatnot, but there is a must-win feel here for the Browns today. There really is. I mean, you cannot lose to Cincinnati, beat up team, no Geno Atkins on the defensive side, and a rookie quarterback, even though rookie quarterbacks sometimes do really good things in this league, we've seen it time and time again, where you have like this moment where, hey, that was great performance coming in as a rookie, but they've got to win at home, and they've got to win this game against a team that's kind of beat up and a team they should beat. Because if they don't, the pressure just mounts for a team that doesn't handle this very well. Not at all. And I think, again, we should never say a must win in week two. Never. We know this league. This league, it's a long way to get to the end of 17 weeks. But 0-2 is not going to be good in this division, even when you're adding another playoff team. And losing at home to a team you should beat, like the Bengals, is just not going to be acceptable. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. As we wrap it up on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
This is your Sports Garden Network update.
I'm Tom Barton, and today's SGN Best Bets, we're going with the Eastern Conference Championship game. That's right, the Celtics and the Heat. My play is on the under 209 points. Defense usually gets tighter during the playoffs, and these two teams were two of the best as it is. The Heat this postseason, they have just one playoff loss because of defensive intensity. They have allowed teams just three times to score over 104 points, and it happened last game because of overtime. The Celtics, well, they're even better, holding four of their last five opponents to 100 or less points. The last game, of course, went into overtime, but that still means only three games in their 12 playoff games, teams have scored over 101, and they've held everybody but that overtime game to 106 or less. For all of these reasons, I expect a defensive battle tonight. Celtics and Heat under the 209 points is my play. For the SGN Best Bets, I'm Tom Barton.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday, 1972 TV shows celebrating the debut of MASH on CBS. Suzanne Hobbs joins us from Boomer Naturals. How are you, Suzanne?
Hey, good morning.
All right, big news for Boomer Naturals. They're now available at your local CVS. That nano-silver technology, why does that matter?
You know, nano-silver is what's going to help you keep you safe, and you've got to have a mask when you go out and about to really just keep you safe from those little tiny drops and particles. So nano-silver is what you need to look for when you're getting a mask or a neck gaiter. And neck gaiters are really great. A lot of people that play games and sports want to kind of look cooler, so those neck gaiters also have our nano-silver in them.
99% antimicrobial. The testing shows how protective these masks are. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's really important that you have something to back up what you say. And so when we've sent it to a lab in Illinois that says antimicrobial, that means that you know, it's going to be protective and that, you know, things are not going to stay and grow on those masks. It's going to help, you know, it's because of that nano silver. So we're really proud of the masks that we're able to offer to the public. And yeah, you can go pick it up at your local CVS today.
And we talk about the protectiveness of these masks, but, you know, when this first started, I was like anybody else. I was just grabbing any mask that people were making just to have a mask. But then I noticed I really didn't breathe well while I was in them. Talk about the breathability.
Yeah, people love the Boomer Naturals breathability in our three-layer. Even though it's three layers of cotton polyester blend cloth, you know, it's a thin cloth, but it's that nano silver that's protective, but also so breathable. And think about it for your kids or for your parents, you know, people you care about. You want them to not be in a little bit of a panic when they're wearing a mask or a neck gaiter because this is still so new for us and they're not going away anytime soon. So, yeah, breathability is a big thing, and we love hearing that from our customers that they finally found the face mask that they're going to wear when they have to wear a mask.
Suzanne Hobbs from Boomer Naturals. BoomerNaturals.com. Check them out. You can use the promo code Tony to order your mask or, as we said before, your local CVS pharmacy. Thanks, Suzanne.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day.
You got it. All right. We continue along. Enjoy the game tonight. Cleveland-Cincinnati. We'll break that down tomorrow. Jake Asman Show is coming up next. Had a fun Throwback Thursday. Also, you can check us out on our podcast page at podcastarena.com if you missed any part of the show today. All right. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.